you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Happy Easter, everybody. Easter, the highest of the high holy days in the Christian faith, of which I'm a very proud member, I might add. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a preacher. I am an ordained minister, but I'm not a preacher. As a matter of fact, I try very hard to avoid being preachy about my Christianity, but this is the weekend. This is the holiday. This is the day that commemorates that moment in time when a man named Jesus changed the world forever. And you really can't argue that. I mean, you can argue whether he was truly the Son of God or not, but you can't argue that Jesus changed the world forever, because something happened during his lifetime that centered around him and those 12 guys who followed him all around Judea, and it transformed the world completely. No, really, stop and think about it from a historical standpoint. Even the most powerful civilization in history, up to that time anyway, the Roman Empire eventually became the Holy Roman Empire because of Jesus. It gave birth to the universal church, the Catholic Church. That's what Catholic means. There's a reason why the Vatican is located in Rome, duh. And whatever it was that happened 2,000 years ago in Judea absolutely, undeniably changed the entire world, because Christianity literally spread all over the world. And whether you agree with the doctrines of Christianity or not, you simply can't make a reasonable argument against that plain and simple fact that Jesus changed the entire world. And you know, I also hear a lot of people make the argument that Jesus was not the Son of God. And they've got every right to their opinion. Don't get me wrong. In fact, many biblical scholars will tell you that they think Jesus was a great teacher, that he was a great moral leader and a great man of God. They just don't think he was the Son of God. And again, they have every right to their opinion. But technically speaking, they can't have it both ways. Let me offer this thought on that subject. Jesus never hesitated to tell people exactly who he was. He came right out and said it over and over again. I am the Son of Man. I am the Son of God. He didn't beat around the bush. Jesus always claimed he was God in the flesh. So when I say his critics can't have it both ways, this is what I mean. If Jesus was a great moral teacher and he was a great man of God, then he wouldn't lie about something as significant as being the Son of God. So they can't have it both ways. Jesus was either a liar, because he insisted he was the Son of God and he wasn't, or he was exactly who he said he was, the Son of God. So if you believe that Jesus was not the Son of God, that's fine. But he couldn't possibly be a great moral leader and a great man of God, but not be the Son of God, because a great moral leader and a great man of God would never lie about being the Son of God. So that whole theory that Jesus was a great moral teacher and a great man of God, but not the Son of God, it just doesn't hold water. It doesn't stand up to logic. Not that logic has anything to do with faith. But you know what I'm saying, don't you? Now I am getting preachy, aren't I? Yeah, sorry about that. So, happy Easter, everybody. As a matter of fact, in the spirit of Easter, the spirit of love and forgiveness and redemption, let's just move along, shall we? And we'll do that by dragging out the old email bag. After all, we haven't done that in a long time. And it's always good to hear what you guys have to say about the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. And here's one right here. Randy, I really love the show you did with the grill doctor, but I was in the car and I couldn't write down that website for spare parts he gave you. Could you give that to us again? Yep, of course I can. You know, I kind of figured a lot of people would miss that the first time around. As a matter of fact, that's one reason why I asked him to repeat it. You might remember that. But here it is again, CLAGrills.com. That's C as in Charlie, L as in Lima, A as in Alpha. Sorry, old Army guy. That's the way they taught us in basic training. So CharlieLimaAlphaGrills.com. And thanks again to Lance Walsh, who is the grill doctor, by the way, for being a guest on the show. Here's another one right here. Randy, I greatly admire your work with the homeless, and I loved hearing the stories from that soup kitchen where you work downtown. Well, that's very nice of you, but actually I didn't do it for earthly praise, if you will. I did it because I genuinely felt like God was leading me to do it. It was truly a calling from God as far as I was concerned. And, you know, nothing exemplified that calling more than a mural that someone painted on one wall of the dining room at Loaves and Fishes. That, by the way, was the name of the place, the soup kitchen, Loaves and Fishes. And in this mural, it depicted people standing in line outside Loaves and Fishes waiting to get in and be fed. And there was a homeless man at the head of the line, and it was followed by another homeless man. And then there was a homeless woman and her child, and right behind them was Jesus. And then there was another homeless man, and then did you catch it? Yeah. Jesus standing in line to get into a soup kitchen. It didn't take me long to figure out what the mural was trying to say. When you have done it for the least of these, my brothers, you have done it for me. So I took that calling very seriously. Plus, I have to admit, the whole experience became a real pleasure after a few years. I looked forward to every Friday because not only had I developed some meaningful friendships with the other people who worked at Loaves and Fishes, but I also developed relationships with a lot of the homeless people we served. So it meant as much to me as it did to the people who ate there. Besides, I didn't really do much of the cooking. We made a big salad, and we loaded up the trays with the food, and we handed it to the people in line, and then we cleaned up. Yeah, that was it. Cleaning up was the big part of the work that the volunteers did. There were really only two or three paid workers in the kitchen. And I had a lot of good experience in kitchen cleanup. After all, I was a grunt in the Army, and basic training was full of KP duty, so I learned from the best, or the worst, as the case may be. Well, Army cooks are notorious for burning food to the bottom of the pot, and we even had a position on KP called back sink duty. That was where the worst of the worst cases of burned on food had to be scrubbed off the bottom of the pot, you know. And that position always fell to the guy who arrived last for KP duty at 4 a.m., and that guy was always me. In fact, I can clearly remember I was toiling away on one of the biggest, most gigantic pots you've ever seen one day. There was all kinds of food stuck to the bottom of it. I was sweating like a pig, like the pig we had just eaten for breakfast, you know, bacon and sausage. And I was complaining about how hard the work was when one of the cooks walked past and he heard me cussing. And he stopped and he smiled and he said, "Beats standing out in the rain while the drill sergeant calls you mama names, doesn't it?" And you know, in that moment, I had to admit, it did. So those skills came in right handy, as my saintly grandmother Duchess used to say. Those skills came in right handy at Loaves and Fishes several decades later. And at the same time, it reminded me to be humble and to remember how good I had it then and now. And we've all got a lot to be thankful for this Easter weekend, don't we? Personally, I'm thankful for the experience of a lifetime in the Army, although I certainly didn't appreciate its value at the time. And I'm thankful for the experience I got working at Loaves and Fishes. Both of those things are powerful character builders, and they remind me how good I have it, then and now. I've had a wonderful, almost idyllic life. Not perfect by any means, but a life filled with blessings I don't deserve and people who are much better people than I am. Mostly, I'm thankful for the grace of God in my life and the richness of His presence and guidance every day. Yeah, I'm getting preachy again, aren't I? Yeah, sorry. No, I'm not. But no matter what you believe about Jesus or Christianity, there's one thing we can all agree on. Most of us will eat well this holiday weekend, so let's talk about that today, shall we? What you got cooking for Easter dinner? Can I get an amen, anybody? Amen! Thanks, me.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's. Conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hams.
Here's a good friend to the show and the co-founder of Well Done Cooking Classes. It's Celeste Terrell. Hi, Celeste.
Hi, Randy. It's good to hear from you.
It's always good to talk to you, too. How's your lovely partner, Catherine, doing?
She's doing well. She's in the coding world of work these days, so she's quite happy doing her algorithms and such.
How long have you two been together?
Probably, oh, and she's going to be mad at me for not knowing this. It's been 11 years.
11 years. Well, congratulations. Yes. And give her all our very best for the holiday weekend.
Thank you. I will. I definitely will.
The reason why I introduced Celeste as the co-founder of Well Done Cooking Classes instead of simply the owner is that she and Catherine sold their interest in the business to Michelle and Daryl Morris last year, and she went back to school to study, what was it, civil engineering?
Yes, sir.
You said that with a little intrepidation.
I always have to, like, have a way of saying, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm going to do it.
Well, what inspired you to do that in the first place, Celeste?
It's kind of like I had a come to Jesus moment and realized that that was something I had actually enjoyed when I was a child, but I just didn't know what it was called. And so when I finally figured out what it was called, I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I would have probably been good at all along. And so I knew I had the skills for it. So I was like, why not? Might as well do something that scares me.
So how's it going?
It's going good. I tell you, I had to get used to going back to school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always the second oldest person in the class.
Yeah. So
me and the teacher have way more in common a lot of times.
Is it tougher than you thought it would be?
A little bit, but I knew it would be hard, and I knew it would be tough and everything. But I tell you, today going back to school is so much easier now that with the internet around that you can actually look things up as a supplement to what you're learning in class. It's actually in some ways it's easier.
Ah, and what would you ultimately like to do with that civil engineering degree?
I would love to be able to work maybe either in a construction firm or an architectural firm in which we work a lot on designing buildings or domes or civil structures, infrastructure as far as, you know, bridges and things like that. That's really my interest in how we can do good urban design.
But just because she's out of the food preparation industry doesn't mean that Celeste has forgotten how to cook overnight. We're going to draw upon her vast experiences for Easter dinner later on in the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. I want to hear more about this major renovation that you've undertaken in your home. We talked about this before we went on the air. Celeste, the consummate chef, the cooking instructor, is remodeling her kitchen.
Yes.
Now, this was an adventure in high blood pressure that my wife and I undertook a couple of decades ago, and it can quickly grow in scope and scale and become a Game of Thrones-level production if you're not careful. But it's also a subject that a lot of our at-home chefs have either seriously considered or they're about to undertake. So let's start at the beginning. Was this kitchen that you're remodeling located in a home that you and Catherine have lived in for quite a while or a new house?
So the home that I live in is a mirror model of the original home in which I started my cooking business in.
Ah.
So I actually got a really, really good taste of functioning with entertaining and having to put a lot of people through a small area. It was able, for the way that my kitchen was designed, I had some obstacles in the way, like I had an island in the way in which that it wasn't up to standard in terms of how it should be with the distances between the island and the outer counters. Mm-hmm. And of course, I did not like my appliances. So it was time for those kind of changes to be implemented and so we had to take those into account, and so now that we're in the middle of it, we're We're learning that the builder did not meet code on our proper ventilation, which is very, very important.
Yeah.
You don't realize that how much, not only is it just the smoke from cooking, but for folks who actually are intending also on keeping gas and using gas, I mean, it can be very dangerous to have those fumes. So these things need to be ventilated out. And they did not have that proper ventilation. They basically had a microwave hood that just kind of recirculated that bad air right back into the room. So we're trying to make it where now it's safe to be in here.
Well, Cindy and I rebuilt the kitchen in the home in which we were living and couldn't prepare home-cooked meals for about 3 weeks. So there are special challenges involved in trying to do that. Tell us about your experience.
So it's definitely a challenge right now where I have my reconstruction going on. But again, my benefit of having cooking classes, we had to work on, we use these little mini portable gas burners. Some people call them camp stoves. You'll see them in a lot of Oriental stores. They have these little gas stoves that you can buy that run off butane. Mm-hmm. And it's great for when you're doing remodeling like this, or if you have a hurricane coming up and you no longer have power and things like that. You can actually use these little gas stoves and put them anywhere. And so, yeah, you know, we're still able to make up some oatmeal and heat that up in the morning, fry some eggs if we need to, and reheat some food. And if we had to cook things, I can make a quick spaghetti sauce and boil some water. So believe it or not, it's actually not that been a much of a strain. You know, whenever you're having to do a remodel, people are like, oh my God, I'm without a kitchen. I'm going to have to eat out every night. But there's a way you can get around it if you want to. I mean, of course, the hard part right now is they don't have a kitchen sink. But
yeah.
The cooking part, though, we have that down, so but we're just using a good old bucket and soap and a bathtub to do the dishes.
That's great advice, and I'd never thought of that. But we assume you didn't pick up the tools and do all this work yourself. So how did you go about the process of choosing a contractor to do the work?
So it's always so hard because you don't know who to trust. And we had in the past worked with a great interior designer to help us design some things for our store and also for our other location with Well Done. And so when we got ready to do something, we reached out to her again because we felt maybe we'd take this on. And she actually also works with another interior designer that also does contracting. Ah. And so she already had all of the contractors ready to go. And so basically we're working in tandem with the designer, who's also acting as the contractor. But I'll have to admit, Randy, it has been helpful that we have a little experience in knowing how to design things and knowing how to use things called Google SketchUp so that we can actually do our own drawings and stuff like that.
Well, I was going to ask if you went full-blown blueprints, but you just answered that question.
Yeah.
Did you rip out the entire kitchen, Celeste, including the cabinets and the appliances? Talk about the demolition process.
Yes, we did. We ripped out the entire kitchen, all the cabinets, every single thing. In fact, we even have moved walls and I have moved toilets. So it is a major, major renovation that we have undertaken.
Wow. Well, so you're actually down to studs, huh?
Correct. We've gone to studs and moved some studs.
Wow.
But we haven't affected the structural integrity of the house, but the studs and things that we've moved around have been things that can be moved without having to have added structural elements added to it. So, hey, this is right up my alley.
Yeah, as a civil engineer, right?
Yes, it's been fun.
Well, I was going to ask about flooring and lighting and countertops, but you just answered all those questions. You literally went back to ground zero and started all over again, right?
Yeah, correct, yes.
Do you regret that now, or has it become such a big project that it's overwhelming, or is it fun for you?
Well, since I'm a kind of a nerd on this, it's been fun for me to be able to go right back to the beginning. I will say, cost-wise, it's probably not the best for everybody. So when you have to go back to that, it's definitely a chore. But I would say that, you know, in order to get to see what we want it to be, we're actually also adding in a really cool bar under our stair area. And so we're getting a much bigger pantry. We're getting a much better entertainment area and the appliances as far as the double ovens that we've always wanted. So it's a wise investment that you can undertake if you can afford to do so.
Well, best of luck with all of that to you and Catherine, Celeste. But we filled up this first segment with construction talk. Can you stick around and talk about Easter dinner?
Sure can.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Haynes.
We're back now with our good friend Celeste Terrell, who co-founded Well Done Cooking Classes with her partner Catherine Herod, and we've spent the first segment of the show today talking about their kitchen remodel project in their home. We never got around to appliances, Celeste. We need to do another segment on that on another show. Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, but we're holding Celeste over for another segment today to talk about tomorrow, which is Easter dinner. Let's start out by talking about your memories of Easter dinner as a child. Was Easter dinner a special occasion in your household when you were growing up, or was it just another Sunday dinner?
For us, I'm afraid it was mostly another Sunday dinner, but, you know, we grew up in Louisiana, so we always had a lot of, it seemed like every Sunday we always had a lot of people that we always met up with. So it was always a big occasion, but definitely, you know, around that time, it seemed, you know, we got to dress up a little bit nicer and be in our nicer, fancier clothes for sure for that Sunday. So that was where our focus was. We wanted to look good when we went to church.
yeah, exactly. Did you grow up in a big family, Celeste?
My family, I have two, a brother and a sister, but unfortunately they were a lot older than I am. So when we got together, though, it was them and their kids.
Yeah.
So that was what was nice about that.
Well, did your mother have a traditional Easter dinner dish? I'm assuming your mother prepared the dinner. That's kind of chauvinistic. Your father might have been the cook. I don't know. But did you have a traditional Easter dinner dish, or did it vary from year to year?
Ham was always on the table for that. So a lot of times it was just a nice, good glazed ham. I remember deviled eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Were always something that was on the table. So we had that, and we had potato salad. My mother always made a potato salad that was kind of strange for some folks because it was a warm potato salad.
Mm-hmm.
But she would kick it up with a lot of, like, Cajun spices in the potato salad, and she would just basically chop up really small, tiny bits of raw onion in there, so it gave it an extra kick, and it was just like my favorite thing in the whole wide world.
Well, one of the biggest challenges of Easter dinner is the prospect of feeding a large number of people, as we've just described, and with that in mind, Thanksgiving is always about turkey and dressing. A lot of people serve ham at Christmas, but lamb seems to be a traditional Easter preference. So let's start right there. Lamb is a less common entree, and some people, like my wife, don't like the gamey taste of lamb. But more than anything else, I think most of us at-home chefs are kind of intimidated about how to prepare lamb. What's your best advice?
I'm so glad you asked about this, Randy, because I think lamb is probably the most misunderstood meat in America.
Really?
Americans eat only 2% of all the lamb produced in the world.
No kidding.
And that's just because we're beef eaters, and we just had got away from it, which was, originally when this country was founded, it was a big thing, but now we've gotten away from it, and so we just no longer know what to do with it. And the key to lamb is you have to remember, number one, it's already a young, tender meat.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't need to be cooked for that long. And in fact, you know, your lower temperatures, even for something that usually traditionally would be tough, like a leg, you don't need to cook it that long because it's a very, very young animal. So therefore, you don't need to cook it that long. So number one, most people overcook it. And when you overcook it, you cook all the water out of it. And what you're left with is this really intensified gamey flavor. And so that's why it's just so gamey for a lot of people.
But what do you do about people like my wife who will not eat raw or even medium rare meat, that she wants it cooked?
Well, you know, then you have to make a compromise. Maybe if you're not going to do it medium rare, a lot of chefs recommend at least medium.
Mm-hmm.
And medium, some people identify medium anywhere between 135 to 145 degrees Fahrenheit.
Huh.
So that might be a happy compromise. And here's the other thing you can do to help counteract gaminess. This is another thing that will work with venison, all kinds of wild game. It works with seafood as well. One of the tricks we use to help counteract gaminess is we use acids.
Huh.
And one of my absolute favorite acids to use on lamb is lemon. So I love to marinate my lamb a lot of times in lots of lemon juice, coriander seeds, which have a lemony flavor, a little bit of soy sauce to give it sort of a brine, and I'll marinate it in that. And then I'll cook it or I'll roast it with a bunch of lemon halves and that so that they go sweet and flavorful with it. And, of course, then throw in some rosemary on top of that. And when you cook it to about 135 to 145, I guarantee you, Randy, you're going to cook away most all of the gaminess. And you'll also have a wonderful, wonderful thing to make a sauce from that's going to be at the bottom of the pan that you can take that and reduce it just a little bit and then make that as a sauce on the side, and it will just be fantastic.
And we could talk about crown roast of lamb or any other number of lamb chops, but I don't want to just stick to that. Let's go from lamb to ham. Sorry for the awkward poetic pun. I've always loved glazed hams, but my last name is Hames, not Honey Baked. So how do we achieve that?
Yeah, so that is also another process of you can, one of my favorite things to do, and it's a little time consuming, but you can take little cloves and pierce in there. And then what you'll want to do is do a nice little crisscross pattern on top of the ham.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what you'll do is you'll need to make a glaze, and it can be as simple as taking just some maple syrup, if that's how you want to do it. Sometimes that's the easiest thing you can do. But you want to have to rub the glaze on it at least probably every, and you'll want to do this probably for the last 30 minutes of cooking. And you'll want to rub that glaze on there, say, maybe every 10 minutes. And that's what's going to help to kind of sink in and really get it on there. If you do it too soon, the problem will be is that it will burn on the outside.
Yeah, that makes sense. So lamb and ham are great entrees for Easter dinner.
Yeah.
But my kids, and specifically my grandson, nearly always demand that my wife cooks the family famous roast rice and gravy for Easter. So let's discuss that for a moment. There are several cuts of roast from which to choose. Which do you suggest?
So there's, if you want a roast that can shred a little easily, sometimes there are some simple cuts that you can get. Let's see.
Tri-tip roast, sirloin tip roast, top round roast, bottom round roast, eye round roast. What do you think?
So round roast works great. Some people talk about beef tips also, but round roast is probably the best one in terms of what you can get. And that one takes a good while. You can do it very, very slow. Some people do it in the oven for around 325. That should work really, really well. You could do it in a Dutch oven where it's covered, where you basically would have a little bit of liquid in there.
Mm-hmm.
What's also now cool is you could use your Instapot if you wanted to make a roast even faster.
Cool.
Put in just a little bit of beef stock in there with it. That works as well. And essentially with the beef roast, tenderness wise, I always kind of test it just by how easy it is for me to just take a fork. And if it kind of pulls just very slightly, I don't want it to fall apart, but if it pulls just very slightly and is easy to maneuver, it doesn't feel like I'm having to work really hard, then I know I've got it just right exactly where I want it to be.
And we recall you telling us in earlier appearances here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show that your partner, Catherine, is a pastry chef. So what kind of desserts do you two favor for Easter dinner?
So this time of year, again, like especially with if I'm going to have my lamb with my lemon, we're going to actually have also like a lemon dessert. So a lot of times we'll have like blueberry lemon pie. It's so good. It just basically, it's a blueberry coulis sauce that we pour on top, essentially what's like a lemon icebox pie. And it's just perfect for us.
We've been visiting with our dear friend, Celeste Harrell, professional chef and cooking instructor. She's a full-time civil engineering student. And right now, she's a part-time construction worker. I know that because I heard the hammers in the background. We know you're busy. Thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time. You're still a great chef, and all the best to Catherine.
All right. Thank you, Randy. You too.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaw's.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
You don't have to be Julian Assange to know who we're going to talk to next. It's my buddy from the Hudson and Harrigan Show, Fred Olson. How you doing, buddy?
Really, really good, man. We just flew in from Sedona last night, and boy, are my arms tired.
Well, that's one of my wife's favorite places on the face of the planet. She loves Sedona.
Yeah, it was my birthday celebration. We decided I really spent very little time in Arizona other than playing golf a couple times, and I got relatives here near Phoenix. Now, and So we decided to go to Sedona, and I was really blown away by it. It has this image of it about, you know, of course, there are shops where you can, like, go check out the crystals and healing, you know, and the vortexes. And I realized, I found out why. We took this tour, just Bev and I, in a Jeep with this lady who, oddly enough, used to run a limo service in Manhattan and is now driving these equipped Willys Jeeps over these ancient wagon trails, telling us all about the flora and fauna. And I hadn't realized that those sandstone mountains and formations are heavily made up of iron.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that.
And there's one place, there's Thunder Mountain, you can see, of course, right in Sedona, that gets hundreds and hundreds of lightning strikes a year on top of that mountain. Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of magnetism in those hills because they're constantly being recharged with God's grace, man. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, the Native Americans think that's a truly magical, mystical place.
Yeah, well, they believe God lived there. Mm-hmm. And why would somebody live hanging off a cliff in one of the most dangerous electrical places to live in the world? You know, they'd live in the Anasazi or some of these other people. And it was wonderful, and it was just kind of stunning. If you'd never been to Sedona, some people just go through. I had like 5 days there, and just to roam around, and we did a helicopter tour. Mm-hmm. Along some of those cliffs, and wow.
My wife will not go on a helicopter tour after Alaska.
Oh.
We came up over the crest of a mountain in a bubble helicopter, and when we came over the crest of that mountain and started back down, she looked over at me and grabbed my arm, and I thought I was going to bleed to death. She was scared to death.
Bev is still talking about that. She rode up front, and she just was, and filmed the whole thing. So, yeah, she still talks about it.
Well, did you get any good food while you were in Sedona?
You know, I will honestly tell you that I had some of the best prime rib, some of the best Italian, and some of the best flank steak or Latin grilled stuff I've ever had.
Wow.
When you think of the millions of people that go through there, they have to serve good food.
Sure.
Literally, Sedona, and they project in the next number of years as many 4 to 5 million people a year will go through Sedona.
Hmm.
And it's only a town of maybe anywhere between 7,500 and maybe 11,000 people. So it's all tourism all the time, but they couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
And again, the food and the accommodations, and it just... There was not a blip or hiccup. They were just wonderful people, and they realized where the money comes from, you know?
Sure.
And they take care of the tourist industry. We met a guy there who's a waiter. His family has been there for 150 years. And, boy, truly a unicorn, you know? Like they say in Austin, if you're from there, you're a unicorn. But they love it. It isn't like, oh, God, I'm not another tourist group.
Yeah.
But it's good to be home, man. It's good to be back in Texas. The flowers out here are just, there's acres of yellow flowers. And
What kind of flowers are they?
I have no idea. Those yellow ones. I don't know what they are, but I got a lot of them.
Well, there's no shortage of things to talk about in sports, huh? Astros went on a tear last week.
Was that? I mean, I love sitting in another town going Altuve. Oh, they're down by a couple runs. Well, that won't last long. Boom.
And the Rockets have an uphill climb, but I saw an article in the paper the other day, Fred.
Yeah.
And they said, in the Rockets' minds, nothing short of a championship is acceptable for this season.
Love it.
So I like the way they're thinking. And they got so many different weapons. Utah doesn't have a clue who to double team. And the Jazz are the best defense in the league.
Well, I don't know. The first game in particular, the Rockets had defense down. I mean, they shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
So they're capable. It's, you know, just do you have the energy to do it night after night But yeah, I just was so proud sports-wise of Houston with the Rockets and with the, of course, the Astros are just fun. I don't care who you are. They're fun to watch.
And nobody had a better week than Tiger Woods.
Oh, man. That, you know, and I was, it's about redemption. There was I started playing golf because of that man.
Is that right?
And then, of course, he just fell off the face of the earth and got wrapped up in a lot of evil stuff. And to see him come back through all he's been through, the surgeries, the rehab, the addiction, and to win. I mean, I was thrilled for him. And I was out, we were out about that day, and I didn't realize till we got in, because it was still on TV, some kind of a delay on ESPN. And Bev goes, well, he won it. And I went, no, they're still playing. She goes, no. two-hour time difference, right?
Right.
Or 3 hours for their plan. And I went, oh, man, yay! And so I got to see the last few holes and see him not lose. The wheels did not come off, man.
And in Holy Week, a week about forgiveness,
yes,
it was about the unforgiving game of golf. Like you said, redemption, Holy Week, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, and to see him hug his boy.
Yeah.
You know, I had seen his, and that just, you know.
Did you see when CBS put up the side-by-side shots of him hugging his dad when he won his first Masters?
Yeah.
And then hugging his son when he won his last.
That truly is redemption, and right. I hope he is able to follow through and stay healthy, because, man, suddenly he's 43, and we're not.
Yep, yep, yep.
You know?
Did you see, after the tournament, Tiger said, this is why I'm going bald.
He looks like the same old Tiger until he takes off his hat. Of course, a lot of us do.
Yeah. Well, I know that you just got back from Sedona, so have you had time to watch the first episode of Game of Thrones yet?
No, I don't have HBO, but I'm going to actually get it for this season just so I can watch them.
Yeah, well, then I don't need to talk about that. I'll talk about that some other time after you've seen the first episode.
Yeah, I know.
But I have to recommend another show for you and Bev to watch. It's on Netflix. I know you can watch this one. It's called The Highwaymen.
Okay, okay.
Now, Cindy and I waited until we could pop some popcorn and turn off all the communications devices and really settle in and watch it. And all the preparation was worth it. It's the story of two real-life Texas Rangers who Ma Ferguson brought out of retirement to hunt down Bonnie and Clyde.
Mm.
And Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson are just brilliant. I guarantee you, you'll love it, Fred. The Highwaymen on Netflix.
Is it a series or a movie?
It's a movie.
Okay, okay, cool. I love the series. The good ones that take, like, you know, weeks to watch. I do.
Sometimes I like it, though, when I can just watch it all in one night and the story is over.
That's true. No cliffhangers.
Yeah. Now, today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is obviously centered on the center of our Christian faith, Easter.
Yeah.
And what to serve for Easter dinner. What were Easter Sundays like in the Olson household when you were growing up?
I think I remember ham.
Ah.
We had ham.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that for that Easter Sunday meal.
Never lamb, though, huh?
I don't know. No. Not when we were kids. There was not lamb available there. I became now I love lamb. Now it would be, you know, what I would do for Sunday. I've got a rack of New Zealand lamb in the freezer, and we will have that. Lamb, I didn't really, because we lived in the middle of really nowhere, Oregon. So you didn't have, we had sheep, but, you know, I don't want to eat mutton. I'd want to eat something pretty good. But didn't have that. Didn't have that until I was probably in my teens. Then lamb burger appeared. but now a rack of lamb, boy, just go out. I tell you, if you're going to cook it, do it on a grill, just salt and pepper, and that's it. Keep it simple.
And then how long do you cook it, Fred, and at what temperature?
Oh, you know, I watch it. I watch it till it gets, there's a look to it that I look for. And don't overcook it, whatever you do, because you can always reheat it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it isn't quite right, you can always just give it a little goose. Medium is always good.
About 145, 150, something like that?
Yeah, you know, prime rib is like 125 to 130 before you let it rest, if you want to keep it, like, rare.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it loses its flavor if you overcook it, and if you overseason it, it just doesn't taste like lamb anymore.
So is that what you and Bev are going to do for Easter dinner this year?
I've got that rack of lamb. I may do it, if you do a rack style, that's good too, where you just cook it in the oven after you kind of brown it a little bit.
And what temperature do you use, Fred?
Gosh, you know, it's funny, I haven't done it in an oven so long. I'm usually a grill guy.
Google is your friend.
Yeah, really. I've got all those on my iPad. I got recipes for everything I know how to cook, all four things. And so I kind of go with that. Maybe 350.
Well, you don't have to be Julian Assange to know when you hear the Jimmy Buffett music, that means we're out of time. So as the Ecuadorian ambassador recently said, house guests, like fish, start to smell bad after 3 days. So I'm going home before I wear out my welcome.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. How's about
cooking something up.